Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday morning worship podcast for Sunday, November the 22nd. I'm glad you are here. Today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we would normally be having our Thanksgiving feast after worship in the fellowship hall. But of course, with the pandemic getting worse, I think our leaders were wise in deciding not to have that. I'm just glad that we can be in worship, either live in our sanctuary or on our podcast. And you need to make that personal decision for you and your family, what you are most comfortable with at this point in time. On behalf of our food ministry team, I want to report to you that we had our Thanksgiving basket and our regular food pantry this past Wednesday, and we had 154 families that we served in our food pantry, plus 120 Thanksgiving baskets that we gave out. Thanks to your giving, the gift from some community organizations, and also the Montgomery County Food Bank. So I am so proud of you and your efforts there. Now let's take a few moments to prepare for worship. You might want to gather your materials for communion and also decide how you want to give your offering this week, online, or you can always bring it by the church office. So listen to this beautiful music and let's be in worship together.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Our call to worship this morning is responsive, and your response will be, let us gather to give thanks to God. Let's be in worship. God has made us and this earth which gives us nurture. Let us gather to give thanks to God. For we are the bearers of God's blessing and love for the earth and to all people. Let us gather to give thanks to God. Let us reach out in care and courage so that the goodness of life may be for all God's children. Let us gather to give thanks to God. And now, as we bow before God in prayer, let us remember our first responders, all of the essential workers, and our women and men in uniform. We pray for our nation's leaders that their decisions might be just. We pray for all of those battling the COVID pandemic, and especially those who have lost loved ones this week. Let's go to God in prayer. We give you thanks, God of abundant life, for bread and friendship and hope. With these signs and gifts of your grace, we are nourished. With these signs of your presence, we are able to be faithful. Continue to nourish us, inspire us, and call us that we might help make your reign more of a reality in our day. We pray these in the prayers of our deepest heart. In the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One.
When I think of our church family, I think about the abundance of gifts that you and I have to offer. Musical talent, the melody of laughter, we laugh a lot around here. The use of our hands in cooking and repairs, and working in the food pantry, the use of our minds in problem solving, curiosity, compassion, patience. Y'all show me patience all the time. Urgency, spiritual reservoirs, financial resources, obedience, and the courage to act. All of these are gifts that we have been given, and others which bear our own personal marks. They're symbolized in our offerings for the work of the church. I encourage you now to commit yourself through the gift of your offering. Gracious God, take these gifts. We give them with our whole hearts. Accept our lives, O God, as well as our gifts. Let the spirit in which we give them be your spirit. Let the use that is made of them be your use. Amen. Now, as we prepare to come around the table of the Lord, remember, we don't come because we are strong. We come because we are weak. We don't come because of the goodness of our own, but because we need your mercy and help. We come because the Lord loves us and gives himself for us. Let this bread and cup be for us the token and pledge of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Dear God, bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Great is the Lord.
Our scripture reading for this week comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy literally means the second giving. It was the second giving of the law in the first five books of the Bible. I will be reading from Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 3. Observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God. Because in the month of Aviv he brought you out of Egypt by night. Sacrifice as the Passover to the Lord your God an animal from your flock or herd at the place the Lord will choose as a dwelling for his name. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. If I were to ask you, when was the first Thanksgiving? Most of us would hearken back to our early school days. How many of us have not ever had the experience of being in a Thanksgiving play where we were maybe dressed up as a pilgrim with a tall hat or maybe a Native American? We call Native American Indians. We'd have on an Indian headdress. We would have someone playing a turkey, and there would be turkey feathers, and we would all perhaps trace a turkey with our hand. Remember that? But that's what we learned about the first pilgrim. Actually, you may not remember learning about it in school, but that first Thanksgiving in America was in 1621. It was at the Plymouth Plantation, and it was with Native Americans from both the Pawtuxet and the Wampanoag tribes. You see, without those Native Americans' assistance, it is doubtful the pilgrims would have survived that first winter. The Native Americans taught the pilgrims which plants would be okay to eat and what wildlife they could catch. They taught them how to fish for eels. I'm kind of glad that the eel did not make it into the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. But we've all taken part in those Thanksgiving plays as children. But the real first Thanksgiving has to do with this morning's passage. This morning's passage in Deuteronomy is really our Thanksgiving story. We come to celebrate it every year. Remember when we have our Seder supper? Every year beginning the season right before Easter. Seder literally means order or arrangement. And you know, we would go through the order of the blessings in that supper, and it was very well laid out. Because you see, the blessings of the Seder tell the story of the children of Israel being rescued from slavery in Egypt by the mighty hand of God as revealed to them by Moses. So we being members of one of the Abrahamic faiths, and those are the faiths that came out of the family of Abraham, and that would be Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. So we celebrate this really as the first Thanksgiving. But the truth of the matter is that real Thanksgiving is not about celebrating a date on the calendar. Real Thanksgiving is a very particular way of looking at and responding to life. And we are invited to come, ye thankful people, come. So what do thankful people, the people of Thanksgiving, what do those people look like and sound like and think like and live like? Thankful people are positive in nature. A friend in ministry once told me, he said, you know, I always count the yes votes when I'm trying to figure out what to do. And what does that mean? That means that he would see who was really in favor of something, and if he had the yes votes, he would go ahead with it. But if he didn't have the yes votes, it was probably going to be a waste of time. And if that saying sounded familiar to you, it might, because it came from an old friend of mine out when I was over in Clear Lake. I was at Taylor Lake Christian Church, and he was at First Christian Church, Texas City. That would be one Wes Morgan. You probably heard that saying around here from time to time, but he was right about that. There are those people in the congregation who are always ready with a yes vote. And it is always up to us minister types to encourage those folks in our church family. The ones who are positive in nature, who always see a way to get something done rather than a reason why something can't be done. And if you are not thankful, you are more likely to be, as Paul put it, irritable or resentful. Resentment is the opposite of thankful living. Resentful people keep score in order to get even by taking. You see, thankful people keep score in order to get even by giving. Come, ye thankful people, come. And not only are thankful people more positive by nature, thankful people are future-oriented by nature. Being thankful means making peace with your past, not brooding or dwelling on it. Resentful folks are always trying to get even for perceived wrongs done to them. Thankful people are always trying to figure out how they can give thanks and move forward with people in order to make our lives better. Thankful people are more trusting by nature. And that is especially true in a church family, isn't it? I have seen that time after time after time here at FCCC, a group will work together to accomplish a task because you trust each other, you know each other well, and you have built up a reserve, a bank of trust over the years. You have a history of seeing good things happen when you work together. And over the years, you have built a high level of trust in each other. That is the very definition, my friends, of community. And community is most often built by thankful folks who are trusting by nature. Not only all of the above, but also thankful people are not easily discouraged. I don't know if you figured it out yet or not, but life can be tough. That old saying by that preacher Phillips Brooks is true. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a tough battle. As a minister, I have had the rare privilege of seeing my church family, all of my church family members, at their highest highs in their lives and their lowest lows. It has been my keen observation over these 45 years. Yikes! 45 years. Nah, that can't be right. I'm afraid so. Anyway, it's been my keen observation that my church family members who live thankfully fared better in dealing with adversity than those who lived resentfully. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Those who live resentful lives live their life with their fist clenched tight, grabbing onto everything they can grab onto. And people who live thankful lives live their lives with their hands open, stretched out, reaching to take someone's hand to bring them along or just give them the hand of fellowship. And here's the punchline. The choice really is ours. God does not force us. You remember that passage, for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. And that is the truth, my friends. The risen Christ stands at the door of our life's decision and gently knocks. Well, aren't you going to answer the door? Amen.